needs to be about the hurting, the dying, and the sighing. You know, there's really not any what we would call the pretty people, because we're all in the same boat, broken. We're broken, and we need somebody to put us back together. And who can do that? Nobody but Jesus. Amen. Joe was talking a while ago about us helping to plant churches around the world, and I'm really excited because in a couple of weeks we're going to be able to introduce you to the pastor of our church plant in Boyer, Cameroon, Africa. So he will be here and will be with us a couple of weeks as he kind of sees how we do church and all of that. They want a life-giving church in Boyer, Cameroon, Africa. Joe and I went over there, I guess it was in January of 14, and we had the privilege of going over Cameroon and going to Boyer and looking for places, land to buy. And so we're excited that now, I mean, it's taken a long time for that to begin to come to pass. And it won't be long before there'll be a brand new church in Boyer, Cameroon. We helped plant one in Douala, or what's the other place? Yaoundé. There's a believers community church in Yaoundé that we help plant there. So we're really excited about that. We're not just a local church. We're part of the universal church. And I think that that's awesome that we can hook up with people in other places. We like partnering with other ministries. We don't believe we're the only one. Amen. We're not the only church in town. I've noticed, well, there's churches everywhere, but we don't think we're the only one. We may not even be the best one. I don't know, but we are what we are. Amen. As I was studying, I came across something that I had never realized before, but some of the early manuscripts of the Gospel of Mark exclude the last few verses. And I was thinking about that and looking at that. And let me read to you where it ends. They go to the tomb and they see that the tomb is empty. Mark 16:8. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. What if the Gospel of Mark, that version of it, was the only one that you had? You would just know that the tomb is empty because there's no account of him appearing to anybody after that. Now, we know that he did from the other Gospels and from the Gospel of Mark that we have that includes that. But, I mean, can you imagine that you would have no definite hope because, well, what happened? Where did his body go? They said he was alive, but did anybody see him? I just wonder what would have happened to Christianity as we know it. See, it's not that the tomb was empty that gives us hope. It's because he's alive. See, he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. And how do we know he's resurrected? Because he was seen. He was seen by the women at the tomb. He was seen by the 11. And it tells us that he was seen by 500 people at one time. So we know that he's not only arisen, that he's alive. And there's the account where he ascended into heaven. And we have the promise that again he will come and he'll come back and get us at that point. So we have hope today as the church. And we can spread that hope to the world. Because he lives, we can live also. We've been in a series. It's called 40 Days with Jesus. And this is the 8th session of this. And we've been talking about lots of things. See, Lent ended yesterday. And we've been doing some Bible reading through this Lent season. 46, 47 days of Bible reading. And if you completed that, congratulations. You did great. So, but we've been reading, but Easter is a time of examination. You know, God loves us just like we are. He takes us just as we are. But He loves us too much to leave us like that. So, because if we stay like we are, it's a path of destruction. But He accepts us where we are. He accepts us as guilty. He accepts us as broken. He accepts us. See, you don't have to get better to come to Christ. I had a friend one time that he was going to this particular church that was, I would call it legalistic. And he told him, the pastor told him, he says, you know what you need to do? He said, you need to cut off that mustache, get right with God, and get in church. So if I cut off my mustache, I'm right with God. Really? No, Jesus takes us broken. He takes us addicted. He takes us high. He takes us drunk. He takes us in our sin. I love Billy Graham's crusades, and they say, just as I am without one plea. Oh, Lord, I come, I come, I come. And that's the only way He wants us to come. He don't want us to come in our self-righteousness because we have no righteousness of our own. Only something that we have dreamed up in our head. So the Easter season for the believers is a time of hard examination because God wants to continue a work that He began the moment that we accepted Him as Lord and Savior. He wants to continue that work in our hearts. You know why? Because it makes us more like Him and we can bring glory to His name and be an asset to His kingdom. You might get right with God quick, but listen, learning to live the Christian life the way that it's supposed to be lived takes a long, long, it's a life's journey. It's a life's journey. I love what Billy Graham said one time. Billy Graham has probably won more people to Christ than most any other modern day preacher that we know of. Thousands, maybe millions. Somebody asked him one time, they were interviewing him, says, Dr. Graham, what will you say when you stand before God? And he looked at him and says, I'm going to say, I plead the blood of Jesus. Because he knows that his righteousness is not what gets him there. It's God's work in his life. It's the blood of Jesus. It's what happened on the cross. As we begin to study the last 8 weeks or 8 sessions, we've looked at different characters in the Bible. And we looked at John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was stuck in a prison. And we talked about us being stuck in life sometimes. Things not going the way that they should. But John's message to that people was repent. Have you ever heard that message before? Now, if you've been involved in a church that thinks everything's okay, you probably never heard that word. And if you've been involved in a legalistic church, you've heard that in a negative connotation. And the word repent is not a negative word. It's a positive word. Now, some people think repent means to come to the altar and cry, and that's okay. If people come to the altar and cry and say, I'm sorry, that's okay too. But the word repent means to change the way you think about things. Every change in our life begins with a changing of the way that we think. Okay? Whether you're entering into a relationship with someone, you change the way that you think about that person. Okay? So it's changing the way that you think about things. It means to move forward in a different direction. It means like I'm walking this way and I change the way that I think and I turn and I walk this way. And the third part of that is to never return to that old way of thinking. Then we talked about Peter the next week and how that Peter rebuked Jesus. Jesus told him, told his disciples, he says, I'm going to die. I'm going to be nailed to a cross. I'm going to be abused, but I'm going to rise 3 days later. Peter takes him aside and says, no, Lord, that's not the plan. And Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." See, he didn't understand the plan. You know, and a lot of times in life, we don't understand God's plan for our life. And we're resistant to that plan. And what this lesson taught us, and Jesus taught the disciples through this, he says, you have to deny yourself, you have to take up your cross, and you have to follow me. And the ideal here is that you give up your plan because he has a better plan. It's take up the cross. That doesn't mean that you got to go die on a cross. They don't mean anything morbid. It means that we trade our purpose for his purpose. And then it says that we're to follow him. And the connotation there is daily. Not I have followed him. It is that I am following him and will continue to follow him. The next lesson that we looked at was the cleansing of the temple. The temple in the Old Testament was where the presence of God lived. He could not yet live in a man's heart because Jesus had not been raised from the dead. So he lived in temples, and they approached him with sacrifices and offerings. But what had happened is the religious people had taken advantage of poor people and were selling doves and different things, and that had made the house of God to be despised in the hearts of people. And it was the leadership of that day, the spiritual priests that day, that were doing those things. So Jesus takes a whip and he goes through the temple and he runs out the money changers. Now Jesus wasn't just a meek, mild pansy. He drove the money changers out of the temple. He overturned it. And he said, "Listen, don't make my house a den of thieves. This is a house of prayer." What he is saying, the temple is designed for a specific person or a purpose. Well, you know, God doesn't live in this temple today. Today he lives in the temple of our hearts. And what is he saying? Don't take the temple and use it for something that it's not designed to do. See, the Bible tells us that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. That we're to give ourselves to him. God's not interested in temples. He's interested in living in people. The church is not a building. The church is the people. When you get up and leave here today, the church will leave the building. And your mission starts. Your mission starts. Then we met Nicodemus. Nicodemus was one of the members of the Sanhedrin, one of the Jewish leaders of that day. And he comes to Jesus by night. And he was one of these guys that thought you had to dot every I and cross every T. He was a legalist. You know, there are churches like that today. We have all kinds of churches today. Some says, it don't matter, just live any way you want to. Then there's these on this side that says, it does matter. In fact, if you break one little thing, you're going to hell. Some of you were raised in some of those kinds of churches. So it's people are legalistic. And he was legalistic. His relationship with God was based on what he could do, what he had to do in order to line up with it. And Jesus told him, he says, Nicodemus, let me tell you, unless a man is born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. And he didn't understand that. He understood legalism, but he didn't understand that. So Jesus taught him the lesson. It's not about keeping rules. It's about loving God and loving people. And honestly, if we love God the way that we're supposed to, we will love people the way we're supposed to, and the rules will just fall in line. Why would I steal from somebody if I loved them? Why would I take God's name in vain if I love him? See, it's about love. It's about loving God and loving people. The next session we talked about God's voice and the thunder. where God revealed His will and His approval of Jesus. And what we learned that day is it's God who reveals Jesus to us. And our response is to not love our lives, but to lay down our lives. And you know what? He'll turn around. If we'll do that, if we'll put Him first place in our life as He reveals Him to us, and we don't follow our pursuits, we follow His pursuits, He'll turn around and give us every good thing to enjoy. God doesn't mind you being blessed. He just don't want your blessing to become an idol to you. So we've been studying about those things. Then Friday night. Boy, wasn't Friday night a great service? Wow. Great service Friday night. We talked about Peter's denial of Christ. And we talked about the crucifixion as we celebrated Good Friday. And at the point of the crucifixion, it looked like a loss. The dreams of the disciples were dashed because they expected the Messiah to come and take over the government. They did not understand the plan. What they thought was a loss was the greatest victory for mankind whatsoever. As Jesus became the Passover lamb. And that's interesting that Easter and Passover pretty well always within a day or two of each other. See, they sacrificed a lamb on Passover. And our New Testament tells us that Jesus was that Passover lamb. And we don't have time to go through it, but there were certain things that happened during that time that parallels Jesus' life and the road that the Passover lamb had to walk, all the way to being sacrificed. Bloodshed, heart drained of blood. The heart was disposed of. He was paraded on a pole that looked like a cross. It was the lamb. And even though from the natural eye it looked like total chaos and loss, it never was. Because it was God at work through our Passover lamb that brought us the victory that we celebrate here today.